With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is a True Crime in Real Time update from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.
I'm Tony Bruschi, and today we're diving into a story that's as shocking as it is disturbing, one that touches on abuse, power, and the dark side of celebrity. It involves Sean Diddy Combs, a name synonymous with success in the music industry. But now Diddy finds himself at the center of explosive allegations. Among the accusers is a young man known only as John Doe, who claims that at the age of 16, he was assaulted by Combs during one of Diddy's infamous white parties back in 1998. This is just one piece of a larger puzzle. The accusations against Combs now span decades, 1991 to 2024, and include more than 120 individuals, with at least 25 of those accusers being minors at the time of the alleged abuse. The question is, how did such behavior go unnoticed for so long? How does someone with that level of fame and power, surrounded by enablers, allegedly exploit so many victims and get away with it for decades? John Doe's case is especially unsettling. According to court filings, Diddy used coercion and manipulation to force the then teenager into submission. Photographic evidence places the two together at the party, and Doe describes feeling helpless against the overwhelming power imbalance. But the question that lingers is this: how does a young person at the intersection of ambition and vulnerability stand a chance when caught in the orbit of a figure as influential as Diddy? As we peel back the layers of this case, we'll explore the patterns of alleged grooming, manipulation, and control that have been described in both the indictment and testimonies from other victims. And we'll also take a closer look at the broader implications, how this case challenges the notion of celebrity accountability, and how power, privilege, and secrecy can work to protect predators for years. The allegations against Sean Diddy Combs did not emerge overnight. For years, whispers surrounded his white parties, lavish gatherings held in the Hamptons, known for their exclusivity and celebrity presence. But now, those whispers have evolved into full-blown accusations. And one of the most unsettling stories belongs to John Doe, a man who claims that he was assaulted by Combs at the age of 16. According to Doe's testimony, the incident occurred in 1998, a time when Diddy was at the height of his career. Young, ambitious, and with dreams of making it in the music industry, Doe found himself invited to Diddy's white party, an opportunity he believed would open doors for him. What began as excitement quickly turned into something far more sinister. In the legal filings, Doe alleges that during the event, Diddy isolated him from the crowd, leading him to a private area under the guise of talking business. Doe claims that Combs used charm and subtle coercion to gain his trust. But the situation took a disturbing turn when Diddy instructed him to pull down his pants. Feeling the weight of fear and the power imbalance, Doe complied. What followed, according to Doe, was a prolonged assault, an act of control disguised under the glamour and allure of celebrity. To solidify his claim, Doe submitted a photograph of himself with Diddy from the night of the party. In the image, Diddy's arm is draped around the boy's shoulder, a seemingly innocent gesture that, in hindsight, masks something far darker. This photograph has become a critical piece of evidence, linking the accuser directly to the music mogul at a moment when the alleged assault took place. But John Doe's story is just one in a sea of similar allegations. Attorney Tony Busby, who represents over 120 alleged victims, has described these events as part of a long-standing pattern of abuse. Busby claims that Diddy's power and wealth gave him the ability to groom young people, lure them into his orbit, and use them for his own gratification, all while shielding himself behind layers of enablers and public adoration. The timeline of abuse spans more than three decades from 1991 to 2024. Among the 120 accusers, 25 were minors at the time of the alleged abuse. These incidents are not confined to a single location. Victims have come forward from across the country, including New York, California, Florida, and Georgia. Busby hints that the number of victims may still grow as more individuals find the courage to step forward. Diddy's methods, as described in court filings, were insidious. Victims report that he used body oils allegedly laced with GBH, a substance that rendered them disoriented and unable to resist. Diddy allegedly orchestrated events known as freak-offs, where participants were coerced into sexual acts under the influence of drugs and alcohol. In many cases, victims were threatened with violence if they did not comply. John Doe's story highlights the emotional and psychological toll such experiences can take on young victims. For years, he remained silent, too afraid and ashamed to come forward. His fear was not just of public backlash, but of the immense power Diddy wielded, both in the entertainment industry and beyond. Busby has argued that Diddy's influence acted as a shield, preventing victims from seeking justice earlier. It is not uncommon for victims of childhood sexual abuse to suppress their experiences for years, even decades. Experts say that the power dynamic between a wealthy, influential celebrity and a young, vulnerable individual creates an environment where speaking out feels impossible. Victims may experience deep shame, confusion, and guilt, convinced that no one will believe them. This is precisely the narrative many of Diddy's accusers are now trying to overcome. For his part, Diddy has denied all the allegations. His legal team issued a statement dismissing the accusations as defamatory and meritless, calling the legal proceedings a reckless media circus. They argue that the sudden influx of accusers, some of whom contacted Busby's office through a hotline, raises questions about the credibility of the claims. Diddy's attorneys insist that these accusations are nothing more than an attempt to exploit his fame and wealth. Diddy's legal strategy has been aggressive from the start. After his arrest in September 2024, he pleaded not guilty to charges of sex trafficking, racketeering, and sexual exploitation. Despite offering a $50 million bail package, which included GPS monitoring, Diddy was denied bail twice. The judge ruled that he posed both a flight risk and a danger to the public. The stakes are high. If convicted, Diddy faces a minimum of 15 years in prison with the potential for a life sentence. His trial, set for May 2025, promises to be one of the most closely watched legal battles in recent history. As the case unfolds, attention has also turned to the people around Diddy. Busby has suggested that other well-known figures may have facilitated or turned a blind eye to the abuse. He has promised to name names, though he insists that he will only do so once he has gathered enough evidence to be certain. The upcoming trial will not only determine Diddy's fate, but also force a reckoning for an industry that has long been accused of protecting powerful figures at the expense of victims. The question remains, how could such abuse persist for so long, hidden in plain sight? And will the exposure of these allegations prompt a deeper cultural shift toward accountability? Or will it simply become another headline, quickly forgotten? The courtroom battle ahead will not just test the credibility of Diddy's accusers. It will scrutinize the machinery that allowed a powerful man to allegedly operate without consequences for more than three decades. For many, the sheer scale of the allegations is difficult to fathom. Among the accusations are some of the most unsettling stories of manipulation, coercion, and sexual exploitation. But at the heart of it all are victims, like John Doe, individuals whose lives were irreparably changed at a young age by encounters with a man they believed to be untouchable. Diddy's legal defense has made clear that they will fight each claim relentlessly. His attorneys argue that the flood of accusations is the product of opportunism, driven by a hunger for money and fame. In court filings, they allege that the hotline set up by Tony Busby was little more than a publicity stunt, generating thousands of calls within 24 hours of its release. They further argue that Diddy's wealth and influence have made him an easy target for false accusations. But the defense faces a steep uphill battle. As the legal process unfolds, it becomes clear that Diddy's empire, built through music, business ventures, and an elite social circle, has left a troubling legacy. Federal prosecutors allege that Diddy used his companies, including Bad Boy Entertainment, as vehicles for trafficking, intimidation, and exploitation. According to the indictment, victims were promised opportunities, but instead were funneled into a system of abuse disguised as romantic relationships and industry connections. Many victims describe a pattern of manipulation. They were lured in by Diddy's charm, offered gifts and promises only to find themselves trapped in situations where compliance was the only way to survive. At events like the white parties, attendees were allegedly subjected to freak-offs where Diddy reportedly orchestrated elaborate sex acts, often involving other men and drugs. Survivors say that IV fluids were administered afterward to help them recover, hinting at the calculated nature of the abuse. John Doe's story is emblematic of the larger narrative, a teenager thrust into a world where power and control ruled every interaction. Doe recounts that, in addition to the assault, he was warned not to speak out, with veiled threats hinting at the consequences of crossing someone as powerful as Diddy. For years, the fear of being blacklisted from the industry, coupled with shame and trauma, kept him silent. It wasn't until the recent wave of indictments and accusations emerged that Doe felt safe enough to come forward. The implications of the case reach far beyond the music industry. It raises uncomfortable questions about how celebrity culture shields individuals from accountability. For decades, Diddy was celebrated as a visionary, an icon who could do no wrong. But beneath the surface, prosecutors argue, was a man whose empire thrived on coercion and exploitation, fueled by enablers who turned a blind eye. The case now threatens to expose those who allegedly helped Diddy maintain control over his victims and cover up his actions. Attorney Tony Busby has vowed to name those enablers when the time is right, calling the list of names shocking. Legal experts speculate that the fallout could extend far beyond Diddy himself, implicating other high-profile figures within the entertainment industry. If proven, the allegations may serve as a watershed moment, forcing a long overdue reckoning for a culture that has long prioritized profits and image over justice for victims. Meanwhile, Diddy's defense continues to push back. They argue that the accusations, though numerous, lack credibility and amount to nothing more than a smear campaign. His legal team insists that Diddy has been cooperative with investigators from the start, pointing to his communication with federal prosecutors as evidence that he is not a flight risk. Yet the judge's repeated denials of bail tell a different story, one in which the court views Diddy as both dangerous and capable of fleeing the country. As the trial date approaches, speculation grows about how Diddy's celebrity status might influence the proceedings. His connections run deep, and rumors abound that he may attempt to leverage those connections to sway the outcome of the trial. Sources close to the case suggest that Diddy's decision to reject a plea deal may be a calculated move, an effort to clear his name entirely rather than admit guilt in any form. But if the jury sides with the accusers, Diddy could face a life sentence, bringing an end to one of the most powerful empires in modern music history. For John Doe and the other accusers, the trial represents a chance for justice, a moment to reclaim their voices after years of silence. But even a conviction may not undo the damage that has been done. Survivors of childhood abuse often carry the weight of their trauma for life, struggling with trust, relationships, and mental health. Some experts argue that the legal system, while necessary, offers only partial healing for victims whose lives were shattered by powerful figures like Diddy. The stakes could not be higher. If the court finds Diddy guilty, it will send a clear message that fame and fortune cannot shield predators from accountability. But if the jury is unconvinced, if doubt creeps in, or if the defense successfully dismantles the prosecution's case, the implications will be equally profound. What message does that send to survivors who are considering coming forward? And how will it affect future cases involving celebrities accused of similar misconduct? As the trial moves closer, the nation watches with bated breath. The outcome will not only determine Diddy's fate, but will also shape the cultural conversation around abuse, power, and justice for years to come. Will this case finally crack the veneer of untouchability that surrounds the rich and famous? Or will it become another example of how power bends the arc of justice? What will the jury decide when the moment of truth arrives? Will justice be served, or will the music play on uninterrupted? And that's where we stand. It's a story of power, control, and silence, a story that spans decades and has left us wondering how much we really know about the people we idolize. If even a fraction of these allegations is true, it's hard not to ask what goes on in the mind of someone who uses wealth and influence to manipulate, coerce, and exploit the most vulnerable among us. Is it a need for domination, a belief that they are untouchable, or something darker, a psychological disconnect that allows them to treat human beings as commodities? John Doe's story paints a troubling picture of how a young, hopeful boy was caught in the orbit of someone he admired, only to find himself trapped in fear, shame, and silence. For years, the mental toll of that experience haunted him, as it has so many other victims. The defense argues that these claims are nothing more than a cash grab, a reckless media circus built on lies. But we must ask, why would so many people across decades and states come forward with eerily similar stories? What motivates someone to relive trauma unless they believe that telling their story could finally bring them some peace? I'm not a psychologist and I can't offer a diagnosis, but I do believe we need to look deeper. What systems are in place that allow predators, if Diddy is indeed guilty, to act unchecked for years? How many people knew what was going on but stayed silent, thinking it was easier to ignore than confront? And what does it say about our culture when those in power can allegedly hide behind fame, wealth, and an aura of invincibility for so long? The truth, they say, always comes out, eventually, but sometimes it takes years, even decades, to reach the surface. What we learn in the coming months could change not just the lives of the accusers and the accused, but also how we see power, celebrity, and justice moving forward. I'm Tony Bruschi. If you want to keep following this case and stay updated on all the stories we're covering, make sure to press subscribe. There's more to come, because in stories like these, the truth tends to unravel one piece at a time.
In a world where the darkest secrets lie just beneath the surface.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence says otherwise.
Where hidden killers roam unnoticed in the shadows.
I think you would definitely be looking at a blend of toxic, very bad narcissistic personality traits, and they will be vengeful and possibly resort to violence.
Join Tony Bruschi as he uncovers the truth behind the most chilling cases.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence clearly says otherwise.
Each episode, we dig deep into the minds of those who commit the unthinkable.
To your point on narcissism, he thinks in his own mind how witty he is.
Yeah.
But he lost that jury. I was done with him in 2 minutes.
From unsolved mysteries to infamous crimes.
Geez, you've just talked about how you've taught yourself how to do everything under the sun. I bet you did a YouTube video, How to Best Kill Somebody with a Knife.
Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi takes you where few dare to go.
How does someone with such a dark secret go unnoticed for so long?
With multiple new episodes every single day.
We're not just telling stories, we're seeking justice.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.